Rabbi Isai, so a beautiful vort, and we shall start with this tonight's learning, Rabbi Isai. I saw a very beautiful vort on Shabbos. It's a really nice vort. But there might be some Zoomers who want to attend as well, so I don't know what we're going to do about them. Is any device available? Any device available? Not tonight. Oh, there is. Rabbi Isai, I want to share with you a very nice vort. I saw this vort yesterday in the name of the Tzadigur Rebbe. Now, I don't know much about the Tzadigur Rebbe. Nochem Ber from Sadiger. I don't know exactly when he was, who he was, what he was, but he's the name of the Sadiger Rebbe, a very beautiful vort. He says, a Yid needs to know four things. A Yid needs to know the four Ma's. Ma, Memhe, right? The four what's. What are the four what's? So one is, in Pasuk it says, Hashem Adoninu Mo'adi Hashemcha b'chol ha'aretz. How great is Mo'adi Hashemcha, how great is your name? That's the first one, the first Ma a person needs to know. Yeah. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Rabbi.
Hello. I'm just saying a word of the Sadiger Rebbe. Very nice. So, Ma Adir Hashem Chabe, how great is your name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The second one is, Ma Enoish Kisis Kerenu. How small is a person? Ma Enoish. Enoish is a very lowly kind of, Enoish is like Odom, but in a very low level. So, we've got Mo enoish kisis kerenu. The second more person needs to know. The third one is Mo Hashem Elokecha shoyel meimcha kim liira. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu demand from you? Mo, what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu demand from you? Kim liira, but to fear you. No great deal. To fear Kadosh Baruch Hu is such a great deal. No big deal. Mo Hashem Elokecha shoyel meimach. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu seek from you? Demand from you? Kim liira, just to fear him. And finally, the last Ma that a person needs to know is Ma Rav Tuvcha Asher Tzafanta Liyirecha. How great is the greatness, how great is the fortune HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bestow on us when we get to Olam Haba. Ma Rav Tuvcha, how great is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us. So there's the four Ma's. His Hashem, Adonai Ma Adi Hashemcha B'chol Haaretz. How great is your name? Ma Enoyosh Kisken, how small we are. Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu only wants us to seek him. It's no great deal. And finally, how great is going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you in future. And he adds a very nice mashal to that. I really liked it. I think it's really nice. So the Sadiger Rebbe says, it was once, it's a mashal, I suppose, of an emperor, a king, an emperor that goes hunting, like in the olden days, they go hunting. I believe, so I understand that nowadays, the royals may not go hunting anymore. It's not politically correct anymore. But for centuries and centuries, that was part of the royal royalty was to go hunting out in the fields, to go hunting this. And I understand as well that sometimes they were such bad hunters, they needed to have helping them out. They should come home with decent deers and stuff killed because they couldn't hunt to save their lives. So yeah, they would go on a hunting onto this. Even the Shuvanoi to be heard about going hunting. So the royals and the elite and the aristocratic people used to go out hunting. Now this king also went out, and of course they had prepared this whole entourage went. And he went with his people and everything. And of course, after the hunting parade, they're going to go and have a barbecue out there of the hunted animals that they're going to have. Lo and behold, they all go with all their things and all their everything. Lo and behold, they realize that they forgot one little thing they forgot for the barbecue following the out in the woods. They realize they forgot the matches. They forgot the matches. And they all did this quite a tragedy. Here is the king, and they've hunted some deers and some animals and some who knows what, and they want to barbecue this night, they want to have a feast out in the fields, but lo and behold, they can't even start because they have no matches, they can't even do it. So they go around, and what should they do? It's too far away to go back to the palace. And what do they see in the back corner over there? They suddenly see a simple little farmer that goes out, and he's got a pipe in his mouth. A pipe. So they go running to him, and they say, oh wow, it's great that we're seeing you. All we need, can we just take some fire from you? From your pipe, we just need some fire. And he said, no, sorry, I don't want to give you fire for my pipe. He said, don't you understand, just give us the fire from your pipe. He says, no. And then he said, listen, who is this for, the fire? He knew it's going to be for the king. And who are you? Well, just a simple farmer. What are you going to give already? Just a bit of fire. And what are you going to get for it? You're going to get the reward from the king, obviously. So remember those four questions. And of course, the nimshal is, also we have to remember the four things. Who we are, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, what do we have to give already in grand total, and what is the reward that we're going to get in the future day. What a beautiful vote. How great is your name? How small is, you know, we're not even worth remembering. And then the third is, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us, demand from us? Just to fear him. And finally, Marav Tufcha Ashatzafan Tolirecha. How great is the reward that Kushbach is going to give us? I think it's a stunning, really stunning vote. Where are they? I think they're all in Telem, I believe. No, I think they're in Telem. Where are they? Where is it? Oh, that's right, yeah. It's four psukim. It's four different psukim. Yeah.
What's the second one?
So the first one is, how great is your name? How small you are? Yeah. Okay, Rabbi, we are up to Simon Tov Kuf Nun Aleph. See if you trust the final Seif of the final Seif of Simon Tov Kuf Nun Aleph. Very interesting, Aloha, Rabbi. This is also, I struggled with this concept here a little bit. He has struggled with it, and I was thinking, let's discuss it through together. So see if you tres in page 56 in our editions, Rabbi Yisai. Tzorich li'izoy, one must be careful. Meyud zayin betamuz atisha ba'av. A person has to be careful from shivos betamuz atisha ba'av until tisha ba'av. Sheloi lei lechichid, a person shouldn't walk himself on his own. Me'arba shoiz atisha shoiz. From the fourth halachic hour at tisha shoiz until the ninth halachic hour, so that's this in the morning. Four halachic hours. Well, chatzoy says. So then you shouldn't walk yichid. You shouldn't walk on your own. Why? Mishum shebehem ketev meri shoylet. Because that's when there's a. You shouldn't walk on your own then, because then shum ketev meri shoylet. This is the time of day. That is a shade. How should you call a shade in English?
Demon.
Who is, some people are makbet, some are not. So shade who is roaming around, and you could be a person who walks on his own, could be cut off by this particular shade. So mishum shebem ketum meri shoylet. Sounds like a very mystical, Kabbalistic kind of concept. We see it's black and white, shulchan aruch. The Ma'aseh comes from even earlier Makoris, but it's black and white. A person shouldn't walk yichidi. So there's a danger involved. So generally, during 51 weeks in the year, you're pretty safe. That's right. Yeah, but that's right. So you're right. But for 3 weeks in the year, from Shivos Abetamuz, you're right, precisely 3 weeks, until Tisha B'Av, you've got to be careful in those hours you can't walk on your own. In those hours, because there's a shade that is around and it could be really dangerous. The Mishnah Berurah adds in Sifkot and Kuf Beis, you see, Me'abba Shoyes Atesha Shoyes, Hainu Mesoif Abba, from the end of the fourth hour, so beginning of the fifth, Al Soif Tesha until the end of the ninth. V'chein Tzim Lizoi B'yomim Eilu Shlo Lelich Ben Chama Letzel. You shouldn't go between the chama, between the sun, let's say, and the shade. So you've got to be careful in those days. And the Shulchan Aruch continues, Velo yakua talmidim b'yom elu. Don't hit your pupils in those days. Now, it seems to imply that what? That the rest of the year, the explanation is other times of year there may be some justification at times to do it, but in the 3 weeks, whatever the justification may or may not be, you cannot. It's dangerous. There's a danger involved, and the Mishnah Berurah clarifies this even further. And he says in Seif Katan זה קודם קוף גימל, לא יקו התלמידים מפורש במדרש אפילו ברצוע, not only by hand, but even with a sword, with a leather strap, you mustn't. You should be careful. So don't use your fist, and don't use your belt. Just a filu, because... I think the interpretation, you would have thought that a ritzua is indirect. It's indirect, it's not literally you physically do it, it's a bit more indirect, it's a bit more remote, kind of. So I suppose that's the afilu. I was thinking about it as well. And then he adds, in line with this, I suppose it's in line with this, Chavonas Ha'ari Kosov, the Chavonas Ha'ari writes, so the Ha'ari is quoted in saying, she's Abel B'yomim O'hem, a person should mourn in those days, Achzi Ayoim, after Chatzos, the person should mourn. For if Chatzos Shoyin, he should about a half an hour, he should cry over the Chorun Abayit. In other words, what we call nowadays, Tikkun Chatzos. So we normally, we're familiar with Tikkun Chatzos by night. Well, we're familiar. We know there's a concept, Tikkun Chatzos by night. The Mishnah tells us, in the name of the Ari, that actually, in those 3 weeks, even if you don't normally say Tikkun Chatzos, you could say, there are people who say Tikkun Chatzos by day during the 3 weeks. And the emissary is, there are people out there that I know. There was one of my great, one of my ancestors, Abakiva Frankfurter, going back a few centuries ago. He wrote special for Tikkun Chatzos in the 3 weeks, special tefillahs for a Tikkun Chatzos, which is said by day during the 3 weeks. So there is such a concept. I know in Yerushalayim there are still Yidden who do that, and you go to the Kosel in the 3 weeks, you'll see by Chatzos, you'll see quite a lot of people who are crying out there for the Chorban Abayis. So yes, there is a concept. A concept exists. These are the halach. So what the Shulchan, what Seif Yudches teaches us is that we've got the halacha of not going yichidi. Okay. I hear that. And not hitting Talmidim. Okay, I hear that as well. Pardon? Ben Chamal Tzel means that when there is... I think what it means is that when you have the shade, the shade of something, and then you have got where there's no shade and the light, the sun shines directly, that area between the shade and the sunlighting directly, that contrasting point, that border, that you shouldn't walk over that. That's Milchama Letzel. I think I heard that once, that's what it means. What's wrong with it? I have no clue. I have absolutely no clue what it means. Eli Rabbe. Yeah, tzel, shade.
To walk over it.
Yeah.
Not the demon.
Yeah, pardon? I cannot think, please don't ask me to explain it. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. I don't know what the law is. If you got anybody explanation, somebody got an explanation, I don't know. But Rabbi said, what I do know is what the Mefarshim learned from here. And whilst the poets can take from this a concept. So we've got this two halach, this couple of halach, but further than that, the poets can derive from here, well, what the underlying side of that is that what? That in the 3 weeks, what?
Danger.
The underlying concept is you've got to be careful of what could potentially be dangerous activities. And the poets can learn that from here, you learn that anything which may be a little bit dangerous must refrain from doing. So one example is going swimming, especially at a beach, which is necessarily a very common question. Some, and the Chavaz Yoel probably is the first one who mentions it, says you don't go out swimming in the 3 weeks because there's an element of danger. It is widely quoted. And some people tacky refrain from going swimming. They don't go, in the 3 weeks, they don't go swimming. Especially, because I hear there was in the 1960s or 1970s, there was once a whole group, a class of girls, I believe. I don't know the details, I just saw it in one of the sperm. Whole class of girls that went, going back really, the 1960s or something. And they went out and they went to the pardon?
The desert.
No, it was on the beach. And they drowned. There was a very big. So since then, a lot of people reinforce this concept, and they take it just like we hear over here. They assert that something, something which is dangerous, we refrain from doing. So going to the beach is also part of that. Yeah.
The
It's not in Shulchan Aruch.
People are probably more mapping about, let's say, swimming than they are about not walking between.
Yeah. Yeah. So the answer, that's right. The answer to your very good question is because these are concepts which are mystical, are pikabola, they are dangerous. And when it comes to danger, which are physical dangers, the Gemara tells us that chamir sakantami isura, something which we can understand the danger, these things are more serious and more stringent than the Kabbalistic dangers even. So therefore, Taki, you're right, they're deriving from here, that, yeah, okay, this over here, I'm not quite sure about it. The Ben Chamal Etzel, I'm not familiar with it, I don't know exactly what it means, I'm going to be meikil, but the underlying concept behind it, I'm going to be stringent. Another very big one, which is extremely relevant, perhaps not last year, but hopefully this year again, a bit, is going to be more. What's a very big one? When it comes to 9 days, a lot of people want to. Pardon? Go on holidays, that's right, they fly. Flying. So going on holidays, if it's, you know, there's no real restriction we've got, but flying is a shaila. So the poskim address, that's from the post-war years, one every single posek, he's asked, is flying permitted or not? You know, it's probably connected to the Sakona. And I want to emphasize, I should have emphasized that a lot of poskim say that there's no such halacha and forget it. Some say, what do you mean? It's not, in principle, swimming is not necessarily dangerous. And, you know, if you know how to swim, swimming is not dangerous, and therefore they permit it. I'm just explaining that there are some poskim out there who, and I think it probably depends on the person's family minik. Some people have got a minik, so that's where it comes from. People who don't have a minik. So there's plenty of poskim who say that there's no makor to say such a thing. It's, you know,
Rabbi, presumably depends where you're swimming. If you're in a swimming pool, it's probably less dangerous if you're in a virtual medical life.
Yeah, I did see the poskim differentiating that as well. Some poskim say that the beach is the problem and a swimming pool is fine. Others don't distinguish and they say any swimming has got potentially a danger of drowning and therefore they say, well, you know, one should refrain from all of it. But you're right, there are some who make that distinction as well. There are others, but here Abraham Kanevsky says this is a mistake and Abraham Zahm also doesn't like it. Some say that it depends. If you went before Shavuos HaBetamuz, you went swimming, like you go every week, you go swimming or something, and then, you know, you can carry on going all the way throughout the 3 weeks. And some say that if you can't start going swimming, you know, the season is starting, it's getting hot, and it's getting good, it's getting comfortable, the water is comfortable. Now you start going the 3 weeks, that you can't do. Then you've got to wait until after Tisha B'Av. But Chazon Ish, apparently, he used to go every week swimming for health reasons. And apparently he didn't have a problem with going in 3 weeks. He felt that there's no makor, there's no, you know, you look in Shas, you won't find it. You look in the poskim, you won't find it until, you know, the late Achoinim. So he said, whoopsie.
Is that
chiddush
why you're going?
Yeah.
If you're
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. People who go for health or for medical, and it's part of their physical activity, which they say, so that's fine, yeah. They distinguish that for pleasure. The ones who ask, so they ask for pleasure. Everybody who agrees, the ones, everybody
who's... Just going for pleasure, is that not under the category of, like, washing?
No, it's not rechitza. It's not rechitza shel tanuk.
When we say, just generally, that a person goes after their family minhag, if there's no minhag, then... So let's say a family, let's say there's a person who's about to shiva, sorry.
Yeah.
He didn't have that minhag because...
It's a good question. That's a general question. What does it do? It's a really good question. So generally, I can't say specifically about this, but generally, what the poskim say, there's two approaches in the poskim. It's probably a different discussion, which is probably not right now, but there's two malchim in the poskim. One is that you should find out historically where the family comes from. Everybody comes from somewhere around the line. There will be some... One should try to understand where the family roots were and try to find out what the meaning of those kind of families were. That's one approach. Another approach is that if a person belongs to a kehillah, then the minhag of his family should be like the the minhag of that particular keli where he feels comfortable with. So an example is if somebody becomes a ger chassid, somebody becomes a satna chassid, if somebody becomes a feels affiliated to a sfardi keli, or if somebody feels affiliated to a to whatever it is, so if that's where his place is now, so he should keep the minhag to that particular keli. That would be approach two. So approach one is to find out where the family history, where it comes from, and a family, and approach two is to associate one with the killer one belongs to at the moment. But it's a good question. It's a very good question.
If it clashes, if your family's
Yeah, then I would go for the former. Then I'd go for the former. If you know really what, if one knows where the family comes from originally, one should stick with that, because that's really what the meaning. Al titosh teras imecho. In principle, it's a family thing. As long as it's got, you know, as long as the minhagim are genuine minhagim. If you know, if a person knows that my ancestor didn't put on tefillin, they didn't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, your example, and he belongs now to a keli which do put on, but he knows that historically, if you go back 3-4 generations, I know for sure my family didn't put on tefillin, so once, you can proudly continue that, proudly, and vice versa, of course. So, yeah, so in terms of a chitza, yeah. So, for chitza, so the Shulchan Aruch earlier taught us, whatever is considered chitza, whatever is considered a tzorech mitzvah is permitted. So, tefillah generally is considered tzorech mitzvah, and it's therefore certainly okay. There is certain tefillahs of men, which is not necessarily considered an absolute mitzvah. But nevertheless, it goes into that category, and if somebody is generally makbid and careful to do this tefillah, the poskim allow it, including the mishtibu, also say that it will be considered within the category of letzoich mitzvah and therefore permitted. I want to speak more about flying, but I think we leave that for next year, Mitzvah Hashem. Flying in the 9 days is an interesting topic. Okay, we leave that for tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. I wish you a very good evening and a good Chodesh.